61st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Swung on a hit in the air, then he's got it. That's back, away back. She is gone.
Welcome back to the Boys at 161st Street. Been a little 2-week hiatus. We were a little upset. Everybody was a little upset. We didn't know if we were getting baseball. Negotiations sucked. Horrible.
Tired of talking about the same thing over and over and over again.
Bad on both sides. We're fanatics. We love the fucking sport. We love everything about it. It was starting to piss us off to the point where we didn't even want to talk about it. I looked at Damon. I live with Damon. I looked at Damon. I was like, hey, are we doing an episode tonight? He was like, no.
Nothing to talk about. I don't know.
Well, there was nothing to talk about.
It's just, I was sick and tired of talking about these new proposals and these new tweets that go out that allegedly the season's going to happen. And then 2 days later, it's like, actually, we're really far behind and nothing's happening yet. So I was really tired of talking about it.
I was too, dude. There was just so many. The word proposal was used way too much.
Yeah, it could have been a drinking game.
And like, the thing was, you knew when a proposal went out, it was going to be declined. Like there was usually when you see a proposal, it's like, okay, like maybe they'll accept it. Like every single one I knew was going to be declined, and there was no, I don't even know why they accepted the last one. Why did they?
Let me ask you both a question, because I saw, I think Trevor Bauer probably tweeted this out, and he was like,
goat.
These proposals between the players union and the owners are supposed to be confidential, is supposed to be kept quiet, but once I went out and publicized it, so now we're just reacting, yada, yada, yada. Would you guys have rather been up to date with everything happening? Or would you have rather not heard a damn thing and then 2 days ago would just been like, yeah, we're getting baseball, we're good to go?
I think I would have been much more excited for when the season started if I didn't know every offer that was put on the table every couple of days. Because by the time the offer came around, like, I was excited. But it wasn't really out of nowhere. It was kind of like, all right, finally, like they finally accepted it. And I was like more relieved than excited.
It was like a settlement almost.
Whereas if they were just in negotiations or whatever and didn't know any of the deals, and then all of a sudden, a couple of days ago, they're like, boom, baseball's back. I would have like been super excited.
I think I'd rather know nothing. And you know why? Because knowing the negotiations made me know for a fact that we aren't getting baseball for financial reasons, not for Corona and health reasons. Like if we didn't hear anything, if we were naive and they didn't tell us shit, I'd be like, okay, it's probably because the world's in turmoil and like everybody's dying around. That's a valid excuse. But they were so public about how they were penny pinching on both sides, and that just like is a horrible look. So if they didn't tell me shit, I'd be like, yeah, it's probably because of health.
It was kind of like,
if they're gonna tell me that openly, it's because we can't decide whether or not like a 10-game difference in proposals is going to shut the season down. Because that, the 5 games, actually. It was a 5-game difference where they were at, and then they eventually agreed on this. That's fucked up.
Like, yeah. For instance, when I heard hockey was coming back, I was like, oh, like we didn't heard nothing about it. Obviously, we're not involved in like the hockey universe community as much, but like, yeah, as soon as I heard that, and I don't even watch hockey, I was just like, I'm going to be the biggest Rangers fan in the entire world. I'm ready to go. I was so excited. But
I did the same thing for golf. I just picked Justin Thomas.
Still excited. Go Rangers.
I did the same thing for golf. I've never really watched golf, but since I had nothing else to do, I'd been playing it. So I started watching it and picked Justin Thomas just because he went to Alabama. And he did not play very well today, but I'm excited to not have to pretend I like watching golf.
Didn't you say you couldn't even pick him out of a lineup?
At a time, I couldn't. I was like, all right, he's really good. He went to Bama. Like, I'm going to like him. And then since then, I've done a little bit of research. Now I could definitely pick him out of a lineup. But, you know.
Yeah, I sent that pick and you were like, yeah, no, that's him. You barely even knew.
Yeah, no, I had no idea. I just was like, well, he's good and went to Bama. And he's second in FedEx Cup, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll start a golf podcast.
Soon enough. So since they did agree on 60 games, the makeup of the games that are going to be played, the schedule's not out yet, but we do know that there's going to be 40 games that are played within division and 20 that are against your National League counterpart or American League counterpart, your counterpart. honestly, to start off, I feel like this is for good reason. Like, I understand why they did this, because 40 games, majority of games should be played against your division, because the playoffs are evidently determined based on your status in the division, because obviously we're keeping the same divisions. I know before they were talking about that whole 10 team division bullshit that would have messed up our standings board that we made, but they are keeping the divisions, and I understand why. 40 games, you need to, if you're going up against these other teams like Rays, Red Sox, Blue Jays, Orioles in our case, you got to play the majority of games against them, because let's say the Orioles, worst team obviously, let's say they play the Giants, Mariners, Pirates, and Marlins for the majority of the season, and we play the Twins, Brewers, Dodgers, Astros for the majority of the season. The strength of schedule fucks everything up, and they make the playoffs over us just because we had to play harder teams. So I understand why nearly every game is played in almost like a pool, like pool play, like the World Cup, and obviously the 20 games in against your counterpart makes sense for travel purposes, because Corona's a thing still, and you want to minimize travel as much as you can. So at face value, I understand why they did it. I have no qualms with that.
Yeah. I don't love it, but I understand why they did
it. Yeah, there was no other way to do it. There's probably a few other ways to do it. But I
think that the limited traveling, what are you going to do? Play one game again? Like, the other thing about the series, you're still having series in baseball. And if you have a couple different interleague series, you still need to play them two times at minimum. And it doesn't really work out that way with the limited amount of games. So the 40 game season with the direct division, it makes sense. I don't love it. But I think like I said before, the NL East, we could have been a tougher division. I think the NL East is going to be super exciting to watch. No, that's our counterpart, right?
Yep.
So that's going to be tough, but that's going to be my favorite division to watch besides every Yankee game.
Yeah. So let's get into that. What do we think?
Well, I'm excited. Just before we get into it, I'm just kind of excited that our games, our like interleague games against the NL East, are going to actually matter towards playoffs more than, and towards the division rankings so much. Like when the Yankees play the Braves, for example, it's not like a super competitive series. It's an interleague game, and like, you know, it's okay. It's whatever. It doesn't, grand scheme of things, not big. Usually a 2-game series. But now we got to play them 5 times, and it matters for a significant portion of the schedule. So we're going to be playing the Braves, even though it's not the division, or the Mets, or the Phillies, or whoever. And the games are going to matter.
It's going to be a playoff-like atmosphere.
Yeah, in a regular time.
And I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, in a regular season, like, I remember watching those games, and in the back of my mind, it was more of just like an entertaining watch instead of a competitive watch, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, they're... When the Mets play the Yankees, I remember we had a doubleheader last year. One was during...
That's the fight for New York. That's a little different.
That's the fight for New York, but like, even so, the game... Like, if we split that series, I remember vividly, because my friend Dean is a Mets fan. He gave me, he's like, oh, we beat you guys. You guys aren't even that good. Judge who, whatever. Pete Alonso is the greatest. Fuck him. Whatever. Like, that game really didn't matter to me. Although, because it was the dog days of summer. We don't have a dog days of summer anymore. We're starting in the dog days of summer. Dog days of summer right now. They would be happening now. We're 100 games in.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's interesting, too, because we have a 60-game season starting in July. That's because that's the most we could possibly have for here on out. So we, at this point, we'd be about 100 games in to the point of where opening day is supposed to be. So it's just weird to see that we literally eliminated the whole dog days of summer thing. And like you said, every single game against the Nationals, the Braves, Phillies, Mets, Marlins, all of them, they're going to matter just as much as every single game against the Rays and every single game against anybody. And every other game is going to matter too. Like, I mean, not directly, but I mean, dude, it's just the margin for error.
It's going to be so small. I'm excited to see what the actual full schedule
is. I might be a little more excited. I don't know. Something about the shortened season.
The season starting right after where the All-Star break would have been. And so many people, you see a hot start in the beginning of the season, come out flat, dog days, like you said, and that's just not going to be a thing anymore. You're not going to see a guy hit 30 home runs in the first half and then have 3 in the entire month of August. Like, that's probably not going to happen, at least because of the dog days. Like, it's such a small, my favorite word, sample size, that anything can happen. So I feel like us as fans, we should just be thankful that we have a season, and rather than compare it to what the season could have been if it was normal, we should just kind of look at it as like for what it is.
Yeah, and embrace a little bit of
things
change
that are so unique.
Yeah, because when you think about it this way, I hope to God we never experience something like this again. So it's going to be an experience that we hopefully only live through once. And it's going to be pretty cool. I think it's going to be super intense. Every single game is going to be crazy. It's going to be like watching like NFL Sunday, but just every day.
That's a good comparison because there's so few games in the NFL. And now something that used to be a marathon is now a sprint. And it's a 60-game sprint. And then you got the playoffs. And honestly, I don't know. I know we're going to wait to get into this, but I kind of want to get into it now. Like, I think this World Series, honestly, at first, I was like, hell no, it wouldn't be legitimate. But I got to thinking, this may just be my irrational like love for the Yankees talking and think that we have a real shot at it. But I'll declare it right now. I think, personally, I don't know what you guys think. I'd love to hear it. I think this series counts, the World Series counts, and here's why. Because, well, obviously, everyone knows the old adage is like, the championships are won in October. Like, it's who's hot at the right time. You got to stick it out. 162 games never really determine. Like, always the person who is the leader at the end of the year, like in record, never usually wins it, which is really interesting. An interesting counter argument to the whole 162 game season and like whether, like, if that's the determining factor of whether a World Series counts or not. I feel like always the World Series are won in October. And look at the Nationals last year. They were a wild card team. So if you're going to say a World Series doesn't count and a wild card team last year, last seed in, wins it last year, like, you're wrong. Like, the team that was, like, the Astros and the Dodgers and all them who were the favorites throughout the whole thing and had the best record, Yankees included, throughout the whole year, those teams had the best records and they didn't win. So what makes a 162-game season more valid than a 60-game season, even though you have to win the same amount of games? You wouldn't need, what is it, 21 games you got to win in October to win the whole thing? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just, to me, why I think it counts. I'm going to root for the Yankees to win the World Series this season.
I hope so.
If not,
I'm not picking the White Sox.
If not,
you know what? No, I'm feeling the Cubs.
I meant just as much as a regular season, another season, 162. And I kind of, it might be a little bit more. I don't know. And just for the simple reason that I want my team to be better than any other team. And that's why you want them to win in any other given year. You're still better than everybody else. That's the only thing that, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Murph. You go first.
All right. Well,
no, so you,
I think the
you.
Biggest reason the
actually, no, I'm
to play devil's advocate. I'll go because I want to play devil's advocate here.
All right.
The whole does it count thing is interesting because I'm thinking like, oh yeah, same thing you do. You win the games in October and whatnot. But there is no way that after last year the Nationals would have won if it was a 60 game season. There's no way. Why? And I think that this year.
Why?
The odds that the team who wins the World Series in a 60-game season and the team who wins the World Series in a 162-game season are going to be different, which I don't think that really changes the validation of whether it counts or not because you were the best in that season, whatever the season's parameters are. So I can agree with that. But I do think that the World Series champion is going to be different in a 60-game season than it will in a 162-game season because of injuries, because of fatigue, because of how you build your team in the playoffs in the long run, that kind of thing, like the dog days, like you said, like your placement in the division, that sort of thing. Like the Nationals were 21-25, I think, last year at one point. Not that that's 60 games, but I know that they were very far out in the beginning of the season. And they started off on a pretty big skid and they had to come like roaring back in the second half. Yeah. So in a 60 game season, that doesn't happen. They don't make the playoffs, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Whoever wins 60 game World Series versus on 162 is going to be incredibly different. I think a lot of teams manage, like the Yankees, for example, Boone manages the team for the long run with swapping everybody out. It's a very different type of managing style. Going back to if it counts or not, obviously I think it's going to count in the record books. I think with the value of it.
If the Astros counts this
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't strip that, so.
Here's the reason why I think I think us in general have been hearing so much about this, because I don't know if I've seen on an actual MLB page or anything like that that talks about the entire league. Does this World Series count? I don't know. I could be wrong, but I personally haven't seen it or have been paying attention to it. And I feel like we see it all the time because we're the favorites and we're most hated. So automatically people are like, oh, 27.5, 27.5 doesn't count. It only counts a half. Like we hear it because we are going into the season as front runners and everyone wants us to lose. So that's why everyone's kind of like saying, oh, it's not going to count because you guys won so much and you guys are the favorites. But
it'll count for everybody else.
Yeah, if the Angels win, fuck yeah, that counts. Are you kidding me? Everyone had a fair shot. Yeah, it's gonna be bias, different opinions, and no one's gonna be happy regardless. But obviously gonna count the record books. But if anyone else wins, doesn't count if the Yankees win. So it counts.
So I think that's the interesting thing, because if, for example, I was thinking is like the Twins win. When they say they win the American League, they beat us in the ALCS or something, and they go on and win. I'm going to be like, well, wasn't a full season. I think the Yankees actually are probably hurt by the 60-game season because of the knick-knacky injuries that they tend to get, and how much more of the season those are going to take up.
You're right, actually. That's interesting. So, like, that's an interesting point.
I really
point.
Think we are at a bet.
No, I'm just saying that's an interesting point, because usually the train of thought is, okay, we're benefited by the shorter season because we'll last longer because we can get through 60 games. We don't have to get through 162. However, if somebody gets hurt, it's like the amount of games doesn't determine when you get injured. If you get injured in game two, you're out for the rest of the fucking season. You're hurt way more because you're out for the majority of the rest of the season versus a fraction of the season before. So
yeah,
honestly, injury prone teams like us are so much at a disadvantage, because I mean, we're all coming in healthy right now. We'll get into the injury updates in a bit, but I mean, I didn't even think about that, honestly.
I think, kind of going before getting to the injury stuff, I 100% agree with that. But I think the one thing to think about that is that, like, the World Series is the best team in the league throughout the entire season, in my opinion. I know that it's won in October, all those types of things. That's where you got to show your grit. Nationals, for example, wild card team, amazing. But you got to get there somehow. I think the 162, it gives you that time to show who is actually playoff worthy. And I think that's where the it originally comes of this as a matter, because 60 games is enough to see who's actually the playoff team and who's actually
battle-tested.
Yeah, who's battle-tested, who's going to be in there, who's struggled, who's gone back and forth, who's come back, who's won on streaks, who stayed hot, who didn't get cold, yada, yada, yada. Look at the Dodgers, who were 42 games. They won 42 games within the first 60 games of last year. Like, there's a lot to think about, and it's in a real season, the longevity of it is really what makes it so special. There's so many different moving parts, and there's so many different biases that there's not one part that's going to be exactly right. And who knows? This could be a fucking hell of a season, and everyone gets crazy behind it and it blows it up, and now we're all like, this actually does count because that was fucking awesome. We have no idea.
It might be better in a sense, in the sense of like everybody's into every game. And I think that's the downfall of baseball. Not that I want a shorter season. I don't. I love baseball. I love it every day for 162 days, whatever, however long it is. But I think that's the downfall of the season, because NFL Sundays, like we said before, everybody's hyped around it. Everybody, you're watching every game. The percentage of games that a casual fan watches is close to 100% for football, honestly. And for baseball, the percentage of games that a casual fan watches is whenever it's convenient. Whenever it's like a Friday night, have the game on, it's like a 30%, honestly, the casual fan.
Or lower than that.
Lower than that, maybe, yeah. But, like, you know, see what I'm saying? The casual fan in football literally watches probably every game because it's the thing to do. It's a Sunday thing. But
yeah,
that's why I think this could benefit baseball a lot, because you're going to have everybody who's maybe not as interested, like not as diehard as like you're going to start a podcast about baseball, but they're going to watch every game because it matters so much. It's literally, it's close to that of more of an NBA season, because they have around this many games usually. I don't know. That's another piece to think about.
The interesting thing, I think, for baseball is their ratings numbers, I think, are going to change a lot because baseball, especially in the summer, never competes with the NHL and the NBA and the NFL. So, like, basically for the entire season, they're going, they have, you know, they have from June until basically September where they're not competing with any other sport. And then now all of a sudden, most, I think the entire season, they're going to be competing with the NBA, the NHL,
a week later,
the NFL, or all three.
Yeah.
And some combination of those. So, like, it's going to be interesting to see how the ratings do. But for us, like, I'm taking baseball first until football happens. Like, if the Yankees are playing at the same time as Alabama on a Saturday, if they play, or the Jets on a Sunday, maybe I watch the Jets because I'm going to watch the other 55 Yankees.
Yeah, but like,
games,
you do that anyway. In my opinion, like, you know, Jets are Jets. I watch the first three games, they lose, and I give up. But those first three games, I'm usually watching them. And if there's a Yankee game, I'm gonna do a split screen. But the Jets game gets the bigger screen, I gotta say. But that, it's just an NFL Sunday thing. It's once a week thing. But so now, it could transition.
But now
that's that's
less games. Is it now?
I mean, I don't care.
We break out another monitor.
Jets at all anymore, so
no, I get that. But I don't know. With 60 games, there's just so many things that change. Like, a normal season is just so different. And honestly, I'm with you on the 162 makes you more battle tested, and that's the whole reason why the World Series will count. See, I'm in between. I don't know if it counts, but I'm willing to declare that it counts for anybody. So that
I agree that it counts.
Yeah, like, I'm down to, like, everybody as a community, Dodgers, Padres, Cubs fans alike. Everybody comes in. We all put our hands in the middle. We say this one counts, and then we all play. And then we don't have this whole, like, oh, if you win, it doesn't count. If the Yankees win, it doesn't count. But if, like, the Pirates win, it counts, because that's, like, crazy. Like, all that bullshit, that, like, if we all agree that it counts, it counts. But
it's never going to happen.
No, I know. But I do agree that the 162 is a determinant if it counts or not, because it's almost like you passed this test, now you get to go to the playoffs. You were able to, like, to get through the dog days of summer.
Everyone's going through the same damn thing.
Exactly.
Everyone's playing the same amount of games. It's not like one team has an advantage.
However, this is going to be so fucking competitive now. We've said it before, but the amount of teams that are in the wild card chase at the 60-game point is everybody.
Well, I know what we want to get into, like, the 60-game award, what that would look like. Do you want to say something before we get into that, Murph?
Yeah, Murphy was sneezing, and then he wanted to
I thought I had to sneeze. No, sorry. So the thing that I was going to say is, like, if the Yankees aren't going to win the World Series, I would love to see somebody, like, take advantage of the format of the season and have, like, I don't know, Seattle or, like, Pittsburgh or the White Sox or somebody who hasn't won in, like, a long time and, like, maybe shouldn't win, maybe some kind of young team just, like, snap and win. I think it'd be
that'd be cool.
But hold on. Does now, with the bias thing and how everybody will say, like, oh, the Yankees don't count, I feel like the teams like the Mariners or the Pirates or the Reds, if they win, the bias also points to them not counting either, because that looks like a fluke.
I think if the Yankees are the favorite. So if the Yankees,
they would have done it anyway.
The season was the same thing. Yeah. But then if, say, like,
I think, 100%. Yeah.
Say Texas Rangers win.
You throw that away.
Only because they have a 60-game season. They're not going to win 162.
Exactly.
Games.
That goes, full circle, because that goes to the point that he said. You're battle tested through 162. You pass test one. You move on to the next booklet. But this one, dude, I mean, honestly, I'm in for putting my hands in the middle and saying, like, it counts. But honestly, in hindsight, like, if you see the Tigers win, I'm going to be like, okay, there's something up here.
Listen,
and again, we don't know. We don't know the impact.
Every single team's gonna have their bias. Every single team is gonna. Excuse me. Just burped. Every single team that is rooting against whoever wins is gonna have a bias. Everyone is gonna have a bias. So
I think the Central is gonna be super interesting, because the West has powerhouses like the Astros and the Central. The Astros and the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The East has the Nationals, the Braves, the Yankees, the Rays. The Central has, like, a lot of teams in NL and AL that are very, like, similarly built. Like, they're almost there. They're young, something like that. Like, it's going to be really competitive, chipping away, like, with those teams. So I think one of those teams might be able to take advantage of being in that kind of division that doesn't have a powerhouse and is just going to, like,
if you think about it,
I could see Cincinnati doing that. I could see, like,
yeah, there are so many teams. We were talking about this before. There are so many teams. If you look at the divisions, there's so many, like, some divisions. All right, you have clear winners, you have clear losers, and clear winners. In divisions like the NL East, that's not the case. You have four that could definitely win it. In the NL Central, honestly, I was trying to pick out my like rankings where the season should finish out. If you told me that any one of those teams was in first place, aside from the Pirates maybe, Pirates are a little bit of a long shot.
I think it's wide
but in,
open.
But in this season, know. In this season, the Pirates are very much in the conversation. But in 162, if you told me the Reds, Cardinals, Cubs, or Brewers won in 162, I'd be like, okay, fine.
You want
that
hear?
Makes sense. That division might be the toughest through and through, and especially because the weakest part of that division is the Pirates, and they're bad, but they could win. You know, they got players that could do it.
You want to hear something crazy? So. The NL Central, this is through, I know this is going to be completely different, but to put it in perspective, the NL Central through the first 60 games of last season, ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Milwaukee Brewers, 34 wins. Chicago Cubs, 34 wins. Cardinals, 31. Pirates, 29. Reds, 28.
That division is...
That is within a quick maths, I don't know, four game... I don't know. Six.
Leave the math to me. Give me
six games. Six games. Six games.
I can't remember the numbers you said, but
that's
yeah.
The top it and bottom like is six games. Six game deck.
Math pod.
Yeah.
But like I said,
that's crazy.
I mean, that you're going to see that not only, I mean, that's just.
And there's a DH.
And there's a Sorry. DH. I mean, that's later, just a small sample size, Murph. But
every division is the sample size.
But every division, I was going to say, every division is going to see that, which is great. That's the new norm. The new norm isn't blowing out the Orioles by 40 games.
And that was the closest division.
It's maybe
division.
Blowing them out by 20.
That was the closest division in terms of front, the leaders, top to bottom in the entire league
Dude,
last
the,
year.
The NL Central, and this is the last thing I'll say about the NL Central. This is the Yankees podcast. But the NL Central is dark.
No, it's interesting, though. It's a whole
baseball
thing.
Baseball podcast.
Yeah.
Baseball's back. That's the baseball's topic. Back.
Well, what I was going to say.
And the second closest one was the NL East.
Yeah. And what I was going to say. Was the NL Central is Doc 163. They love the 163 game. They love the tiebreaker. And who was the other one? The other one that did that in the same year was NL West. It was the NL West and the NL Central. It was the Dodgers, Rockies, and then it was the Brewers, Cubs.
Brewers and Cubs.
Yeah. They love 163. That was wild too. But dude, speaking of 163. Are we going to get game 61 in every division? Like we might. We just might.
I mean, you can make the argument that there's going to be like the highest chance for there to be an extra game.
I mean, mathematically, it has to happen, right?
The margins are way closer.
We can see three of them. That'd be awesome.
There's no
way to just do it on purpose so they can add more games to the season.
Yeah, there's way less games to, what, the players to get more pro rata. Yeah. 100% pro rata, you said, right? You
said. Let's all tie it up, boys. Go back and forth.
You guys tie, and then we'll just keep it going.
Wait, you said 100% prorated pay for every game we get, right? So let's just make it 80 extra games that we have to play. Oh, we tied the 61st game? 62. It's 63. But no, it's definitely every single team is going to be within striking distance. And honestly, speaking about our division now, It makes me a little nervous. In terms of a 162, I got confidence. We have time to leg him out because we got the depth. We got good pitching. We have Garrett Cole, in case you forgot. And he's going to pitch in pinstripes in the Bronx. It's going to be sick. But, like, the Rays are good. The Rays last year, what was their record?
Yeah.
By the 60-game mark.
Let me say the...
For sure.
100% we're up
no,
on
they
this.
Weren't. But let me tell you the 60-game, first 60 games with the AL East. I mean, obviously, the top three teams, it's going to be really close. Red Sox are going to suck this year, hopefully, but...
I don't think... In 60 games, I don't know if you can count them out
so
to win the
division. I'm not counting anybody out.
Nobody.
The Orioles get
hot. Orioles will count out.
Yeah, we can see the Blue Jays come out and have...
Yeah, Blue Jays could get hot.
Get hot. Nobody fucking knows.
Blue Jays beat us a ton.
Like wait.
Blue Jays were our bugaboo last year.
Yeah, fuck it. All right, so Yankees, 38 and 22. Rays 37 and 23, so they're right behind us. Red Sox 31 and 29, Blue Jays 22 and 38, and the Orioles 19 and 41.
What were the Yankees?
38 and 22.
Oh, so exactly what I said before.
I honestly forget.
I was just checking.
So I actually read something that's interesting on this. Jeez. Because
you think it's easy over here?
So in baseball, pretty easy to go on a decent skid, like 7-8 games.
I get no respect
over here.
Sorry, bro.
Michael Scott.
But I was reading something earlier that said a 7-game skid this year is the equivalent of a 19-game losing streak, which
that's why
it only happened like 6 times
ever
in Major League history, 5 or 6 times in Major League history, and obviously nobody would recover from that. And somebody's gonna do it. Somebody's gonna have a 7-game skid.
Dude, if you lose three games, and like if the Yankees lose 3 games in a row, which they've done before,
it's gonna happen. But
and the Rays win 3 games, that's detrimental.
Yeah,
a 3-game skid turns into a 6-game gap because they won 3 and them winning 3 is so easy. It's just 3 games, but losing 3 is just as easy. Like that, the spread is ridiculous in a short time span, and this is nothing I've ever seen before. It's just so many.
There's so many new things.
On the other side of the spectrum, though, I mean, I don't know what the Yankees' longest streak last year was, but it was more than 7 wins, not losses, maybe losses, but wins. Yeah. So that's blown up the same. The 19-game win streak was put you up in the highest win streaks of all time. And, like, teams are going to win 7 or 8 in a row, and it's just going to matter a lot more. That's why these games are going to be so nitpicky, gritty, like just – they are really, really going to matter because if you get on a streak, good or bad, it's really going to, in a week, the whole season changes.
Yeah, I saw people on Yankees Twitter in the past couple days, been alive. We've been alive like we never died in the past couple of days, which is great. But some people were saying, like, can we as Yankees Twitter, like, get together and not freak out about, like, a 4-game losing streak out? And I'm thinking to myself, like, if you think that people that freaked out about a 4-game, because this person was alluding to previous years, if you think that Yankees Twitter and MLB Twitter are going to not freak out about a 4 or 5-game losing streak in a 162, what at all makes you hit send on that tweet to think that people are going to not do that or not react harsher in a 60-game season? If we lose 3, I'm going to fucking pull out the stool, and I'm close.
Sweep's a huge deal.
A huge deal. Like, especially because it's within division, because 40 games are within division. So a sweep, a 3-game losing streak is 6 games. That's crazy. Because a 3-game losing streak is in division more than likely, and 3-game losing streak, if you get swept at all this year, you're more than likely
Losing 9. It's like losing 9 games
because you're more than likely playing against your division rival because it's 40 games. So fucking 4 out of 6 games are played against your division. The gap is monumental. You need to at least split or win divisions every time. Series, I mean.
Yeah, like if we go ahead and we sweep the Red Sox in just one series without getting swept again,
we're up 6.
We pretty much like that puts us way ahead of them.
We're up 6 games and now they have so much to make up in however many remaining games there are. If you sweep them mid-season, they're done for. That's it. It's a nail in the coffin.
And that's but then again, if they sweep you,
they're back.
Right. So that's what's weird. And that's why I think that, like, when we were talking about the counting thing, like, obviously it still counts, but, like, that's why the winner in a 60-game season and the winner in a 162-game season are vastly different.
Yeah.
It's like less than half of the season by a long shot. It's a huge difference.
The Yankees had their first 3-game losing streak since April, and this was published in June. So from the months of April to June, they didn't lose more than 3 times.
I do remember that.
3 games.
Yeah.
That makes me feel great.
No, I know. I vividly remember that now. Like, we didn't lose. There was a big deal that we never lost 3 in a row. We always would, I mean, at least would win.
But here's the thing, though. I think that teams like us and teams like the, you know, Dodgers, even the Braves, Astros, fuck them, but whatever. Like, the big kind of powerhouse teams, we lose 7, we lose 6, lose 5 in a row. We can bounce back. I'm confident we can bounce back and win the next 10. But I think this, what, you know, Murph, what you said with the math and how it's relative to 162 season, like, teams that are contending, like the NL East, the NL Central, you're losing a bunch of games in a row. You are fucked. Like that is where it really, really gets competitive. Like Dodgers can lose confidently. I think they could lose 8 games in a row and still win the division. They got Dodgers, Padres, Rockies, like maybe the Diamondbacks that can make a run for it, but I don't know. I'm just that might be a hot statement, but I'm trying to compare it to the division. You know, I'm trying to compare it to the division. Like, it's
honestly, what do you think the odds? What do you think the odds are of us missing the playoffs?
So that's the thing. I think the odds are way higher that we miss the playoffs now than it would have been before.
I mean, obviously,
same for every team.
Obviously, but like, what do you put it at? Like, obviously, we're making the playoffs in 162, 100%. But right now,
coronavirus is also like a very valid reason for players and teams to miss games. Like,
yeah, what's the DL thing with them? Right.
So yeah, the COVID DL. They're implementing like basically a COVID DL. It's separate from the IL. It's separate from the normal IL. So it's for players who either test positive or have or had symptoms - confirmed exposure to COVID-19. I don't know what that means.
So Charlie Blackman. Like,
but is there a set amount of days you need to sit out?
Nope. I mean, that's the thing. Nobody knows anything about corona right now. So like,
it says there's no maximum minimum.
How long is it until you're not?
Though. Yeah, I feel like minimum has to be 2 weeks. No, but
is it 2 weeks? Is it 2 weeks? Oh, minimum, yeah. But is it two weeks after you test negative? Probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to try to pretend like I know what's going on.
Yeah, like we can't even speculate on that. But like basically, if that happens where you get a couple of players, especially if they're key players on that, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm. Bottom line.
If Garrett Cole goes on that, imagine what happens. Say Garrett Cole, dare. Even if he's the only one. Don't you? Like that could derail season.
Don't you use those words, Ricky Bobby?
Yeah.
Would you put that on Ricky Bobby?
That can happen. Would you put that on me?
Anybody? Nobody's like, safe.
If that happens to two of the best teams in baseball, the playoff picture looks totally different. Because if that happens with more than two or three of your key players, you're not making the playoffs. Probably.
Luckily for the Yankees, New York is looking like one of the safer places to live, which is crazy to even think about. Where Merv's from in Glens Falls, there's been no cases for how long? No new cases?
So it was like 3 weeks we didn't have cases, and now there's one.
I mean,
in the whole county.
Here, we're in phase two. We're feeling good. Outdoor restaurants.
We're on track. I wouldn't say safest, but we're on track. We're on the best track.
It's a very constant decline.
Yeah, we're ahead of the game.
It's a very constant decline. And here's why I think that...
The Northeast in general.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody has just had it already.
Yeah, I'm not talking about this.
We'll talk about it.
But Tampa Bay is coming up.
Yeah.
They're coming uptown.
Yikes.
Well, I mean, I said this to Damon, too, before. I mean, I haven't met an MLB player in my life, so...
That's not the point.
What's going to happen now? My point is,
it's an infectious disease.
No, it
travels through the air.
But it travels through human contact. You need to be near them. So I've never been within a 30-mile radius of an MLB player.
All right.
So like, what's stopping me now? Well, I'm not going to see. I'm not going to get next to Judge tomorrow and just like, oh.
Yo,
like,
real question though.
Do you think the point is that Judge isn't playing.
Yeah. Do you think the Yankees?
That's a bigger. I'd rather I have coronavirus than Judge does.
No. I don't want corona. I probably had it already. Whatever.
Do you think? I hope that the really cool if the Yankees open up the parking lot, if we could just like tailgate. The parking lot and like just listen to it on the radio.
I saw somebody, I forget who it was, but it was a Red Sox fan on Twitter. He was like, so when the Red Sox play at home, I can go to Lansdowne Street and catch the home runs, right?
Yeah.
Like,
right?
That's allowed. And I'm like, I'm thinking, yeah, why not? Right? You're just walking around.
Pull up a lawn chair.
Bring a TV out.
Lawn chair, TV.
What?
So you know, like in left field, there's those buildings at Wrigley have seats above it.
That's
that you
gonna
have to
be
rent
sick.
Out. Can you imagine you could still rent those out and like watch? And you just
probably can.
Have, like,
they're probably gonna cost a fortune.
Yeah, they're gonna cost so much money.
You can do that at Camden too.
Camden.
Yeah,
you there's can a couple too. You could do that.
I'm gonna start saving now. Yankees, Orioles.
A ticket that used to cost $12 costs fucking $600.
I'll throw a paycheck on that.
Are they giving us our tickets back? By the way.
It got refunded. It got pushed to the next opening day.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Honestly, I'm very okay with that.
That's a free ticket.
That's a free. It's not a free ticket.
In my head, it is.
It's a sunk
it's
cost.
Already, the sunk cost is gone.
It's a sunk cost. We thought it was gone. Now it's
gone.
A gain.
It's gone.
Whatever. Next. I mean, speaking of corona, not about Corona in general, but like its impact on the season. Like, what if it, like, I feel like this season is great. We're all feeling good. And I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but like,
so don't be, we don't need to talk about
it, but it's getting worse. And like, I just, I'm all I'm going to say is I feel like the season's starting and then, but it's still looming over my head that it's at any point it could be canceled.
It's very, very possible. Yeah. But,
and the way this year has gone so far, there is nothing off the table. I don't know.
Hopefully
I would hope that the MLB doesn't get canceled unless all of the sports gets canceled. Like, if the MLB gets canceled, except for maybe golf. But
I think all the four major sports, I think that if one gets canceled, they're all going to get canceled.
Well, Murph, are you saying because we're in the best position to be socially distanced? Like, it's a social distance.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah. Trade. So like football, I think if you rank the four major sports, like excluding golf, baseball's probably the easiest one to do safely.
Yeah.
No, hockey and basketball are probably two of the harder ones, and football is really hard too. Honestly,
I mean,
you're
touching
maybe
everybody.
I feel like basketball is the hardest one.
Yeah, because there's no cover and you're literally on top of each other.
Right.
So this year they're adding new rules, right?
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
We've talked about a bunch of new rules. We haven't talked about any new rules, right?
I said I'm excited to talk about it.
Oh, okay. I thought we already talked about it for a second. No. I was bugging out. But so new rules, new season length. Want to get as many games in as you can. Change the rules a bit. I feel like it's more of a time for them to try rules.
It's like an A-B testing period.
It's literally like a beta test. Like, we're going to try
and... There's so much different in the season anyway.
Yeah, this is a perfect time to test out rules that we want.
And I'm happy
about
it. Want
to implement anyway. And like, throw it at the wall, see if it sticks sort of thing. And that might be the case with some of these things. First rule, NLDH, no pitchers hitting. Let's go one by one and we'll say... What we think about it, quick, I like it. I like DH is stupid to me if it's, I mean, not the DH. The NL not having a DH is the stupidest thing in the world to me because in a sport, why would you ever have one side does one thing and there's different rules in another league? That's literally like in basketball, the West Division versus the East Division. One of them, the three-pointer counts as two and the other one counts as one. Like, it's just so dumb that a rule is different by design, in each league, gives you an advantage or disadvantage. Depends on which way you look at it, but it's just stupid that it's different in a way. And then they eventually have to run through each other at the World Series, and then what happens? Somebody has an advantage or disadvantage, however you want to look at it again. But that, to me, is so dumb that it ever was a thing. I don't know the history behind it. I'm not a history major. I don't know. Murphy probably has
an answer for me. It was in the 70s, I think.
It's just dumb. Exactly, it's why. Dumb that why would you ever decree that there's a DH in one league and then not also follow suit in the other one? It just makes no sense to me.
I agree that it kind of doesn't make sense on paper, but and I'm going to sound like, I don't know, like an old head saying this. But like, I don't know. Like, it's just kind of how it's always been. I like when we go play in Chicago and all of a sudden we get to watch CC Sabathia pick up a bat and try to swing it. Like,
but why not all the time then? I'm good with that if you do it all the time.
No, I agree. It could be both, but like, it's just interesting. And then it's also funny to see like who the Mets put in as their DH. Like, I don't know. I enjoy it. I get for this season, it absolutely should be thing. Makes sense because of how much
any advantage
the division games matter and how much like we're playing. Yeah. You know, the way the schedule is working out makes sense. Yeah, it would really suck otherwise.
The DH goes back to the 1920s, which I'm just learning about right now. I was today like years old. the conversation about it. You're right about it was 1973.
Oh, you mean the conversation of changing it?
Yeah. Like the so the position is authorized by Major League Baseball Rule 5.11, and it was adopted by the American League in 1973. So that's when it was like actually implemented. But what I'm reading
in
right
the American League,
yeah. But what I'm reading right now is like throughout baseball history, it's been a consistent conversation like ever since the early 1920s.
So before 73, it was pitchers hit in both leagues, and then they implemented DH in the American League.
So the National League, so in the late 1920s, National League president made a number of attempts to introduce a 10th man designated hitter as a way to speed up the game, and almost convinced National League clubs to agree to try it during spring training in 1929.
Is there still like a president for American League National League, or is it just Roger Goodell?
Maybe.
I said Roger Goodell.
Oh, Roger Goodell.
And Rob.
I don't know. There might be. But you know, I mean, without the full history lesson, like, I don't like any of the new rules. If like, but I haven't seen them yet. So
yeah, I think the DH thing, it's something that's gonna be similar to us. So
nothing changes for us.
Yeah, nothing changes for us.
I just never have to see Dellin Betances swing like Gary Sheffield anymore and just strike out.
And I don't think my like disagreements with it is so much of like they don't do the same thing.
Are you pro this new rule or against it?
I'm pro it.
Okay.
What I'm saying is
Murph, you're pro it?
No.
Really?
What I'm saying, I knew he'd say. Yeah, that. I knew it too. But what I'm saying is, I don't really care so much that one league has it.
You try too hard to be a historian about this stuff.
Don't change the game.
Don't change. You're like 70 years old, but you're like 20 years young.
If it ain't broke,
but,
don't fix
but what? But
it's broke. It is broke. Very broke. It's beyond broke. It's a broken.
They've been trying to change it for the last
broken thing about this game.
Murph, it's been 100 years. Murph, it's been 100 years.
100 years, Murph.
Game.
It's been
thinking like, oh, this would be so much better if they had a DH.
They've been trying to change it for 100 years.
So here's
I'm not totally disagreeing. I would rather see no DH than universal DH.
That's a hot take.
Let me talk about that. I may agree with you because here's the thing.
The strategy behind it.
I do like the strategy. I was literally about to say, I do like the
fucking
strategy.
Game strategy. What do you,
No, but not as much so because when you take out the D, when you put a DH in everything, you never have to pinch hit. You never have to decide if you pinch hit. Deciding to pinch hit, you have to take that person out of the game the entire time. That's a whole part of the game that's, it's such a strategy. It's such a chess match, and that's what everybody loves about. Like when the Red Sox won the World Series, I'll give this to them, I'll tip my cap. Like the chess match that where you pinch hit, like you pinch hit Eduardo Nunez and he hits a home run and it works out and that looks like the biggest thing in the world versus before if you just let the pitcher hit and he does nothing, like that's the impact.
But I don't want to watch the first 6 innings of a game and have the pitcher come up 2 times, flail at 2 fastballs, strike out on a curveball, or just bunt. Like
I agree.
We're talking about a chess match for the last 3 innings of a game, which is great.
That's
and all.
That's what it is.
But like in reality, here's the thing about it, right? I think back in the day, baseball players kind of did a little bit of everything, right? You hear about, you know, pitchers pitching, pitchers hitting, like there wasn't as much emphasis on like a PO, a pitcher only.
Yeah, just, I feel like, just an emphasis on steroids.
No, I'm talking about before that.
What? This is like the...
No,
yeah.
Shut the fuck up. I'm not even talking about that. Right. So there wasn't as much emphasis on like a pitcher only. Like pitchers kind of did... players did kind of a little bit of everything. But
so Kev.
Now it's like... Now it's like... I can't even think.
Spit
you're just
it
making
out.
These stupid comments.
Yeah, every 3 words Damon says.
That's like, what I'm here for. Think.
Oh my god. No, I'm just trying to say that, like as the game has evolved, people have become specialists. Some guys came
100%.
And throw. Some people came and throw to one more than one batter, and because they're specialists now, and they want them to fucking hit the ball too. It's the hardest thing to do,
especially
in
with the 3-batter minimum rule now.
Just put a fucking DH in there.
The 3-batter minimum rule was implemented this year, and it's continuing to stay this year, contrary to popular belief. But 3-batter minimum rule nearly eliminates the whole like lefty specialist or the righty specialist.
Exactly what it does. Yeah,
it literally eliminates the lefty specialist. Like, I don't know. Well, so let's get into that rule. The 3-batter minimum is staying alive, but we haven't even talked about it because it hasn't even been in a game yet, because it was literally for this year as scheduled as March 26th when it was supposed to start 100 games ago. It's standing now. What are you feeling
like
differently
it.
About it? I don't mind it.
I like it. I like it.
Oh my. So
you like
I'm
it?
I'm going to talk
you
again
have,
now.
You have a positive opinion about it. I feel indifferent about it. I don't really care.
Sure, if you're talking about a chess match, that's the ultimate chess match.
Yeah,
you're talking
right.
about a fucking DH
that
the chess
is
chess match?
You just
get out of here.
Yeah, you just contradicted
it's
yourself.
More of a chess match because it makes you have to start thinking about when whether you're going to put in.
If you should do it or not.
What, more than a pitcher, in, more than every at bat.
If there's a 2 outs, then you still use him as a specialist.
That's
at the
absurd.
End of the inning. You can't just go.
I see both sides.
He's in a righty up, right? So let's say,
I'll play mediator.
Just for example, you have two righties and then a power lefty up. Are you going to, and you have, they have to face those three batters. Are you going to bring in a righty to maybe get two outs and then have the mismatch against the lefty? Or are you going to bring a lefty I think that's where the,
It gives the advantage to the batters a lot, because let's say you have in MLB The Show 99 Eric Thames coming up, third batter. Do you want to put him in if he has to face him?
That is a chess match, but that's also just like,
it's a different chess match. It's checkers.
But it's also just learning how to pitch to both sides of the plate.
Being a more complete pitcher.
Being more complete. But
what side are you on then? You seem like you're,
I mean, I.
You seem like you're changing your opinion on it.
No, I don't like it.
I have that effect on people.
I don't like it.
But you really don't like it? I have no opinion. You don't like it. You love it.
But I don't. I don't like it because of the implications behind it.
To eliminate specialists?
No. They're trying to speed up the game.
I think this cat's crazy.
This cat was alive,
I guess. This cat's broken.
But you want to speed up the game, take the DH out and then just get one quick.
Take the DH out? Oh, my God.
That's the way to speed up the game. However, no, that's a good point, though.
Like that. Three pitches down the middle.
They're doing it. But here's the thing. They want to make the game more exciting. They add the DH. I get that. That makes sense.
That's fine.
But trying to speed up the game just having the three batter minimum, the implications behind that I think are just stupid. I've talked about this so much before. I think that they're trying to speed up the game in all the wrong ways, and this is one of them. And I think that's the reason why I hate it so much, because the implications behind it.
So we've spent that rule. There's other rules that we should talk about.
I'm most surprised we disagree on almost all of these.
We disagree on everything, which makes for a great podcast because it's very controversial. Devil's advocate. You don't have to play.
You and I don't disagree on a lot.
I know. I don't know.
I'm usually devil's advocate, or Murph is devil's advocate to what I say.
I wouldn't think we've talked in a while.
Damon's usually the mediator.
Maybe.
Damon, the layout of this podcast.
I'm a big Depends guy.
For new listeners, listeners, the layout of this podcast usually is, I have an idea, Murph plays devil's advocate, Damon's like, it could be either way.
Damon's ass hurts from sitting on the fence.
Yeah, I'm a big Depends guy.
If he walks and he's a pitcher, then it's basically a hit. But if he gets a strikeout in three pitches and the rule sucks, like, I don't know. All right, next rule.
So that's the thing about DH, though. I'm like, it's not that I don't like it. I'm just a little skeptical of it. That's all.
All right, next time we're watching a game, we're watching National League. Spoken like a
true American League baseball fan.
I can change my mind on that.
An American League baseball fan is skeptical of the DH, everybody, since 1973. Skepticism takes a long time. Remote high five. Next rule. And honestly, I'm surprised we talked so much about a rule that's been established for a while, even though we haven't played games yet. The runner on second rule is one I cannot get behind.
The old California rule.
So you know what's interesting with that? You can throw a perfect game and lose.
Yeah.
Now, with two sac flies in the extra innings. Yeah. That's bullshit.
I mean, I just think the rule is stupid. I think, again, they're the speeding up the game again, and they're all the wrong ways, is just another issue. But that's like a little league rule you do. And didn't they try it in the minor leagues and it just failed? They tried it last year with the minor leagues. They did the man on second in their extra innings, and everyone was like, what the fuck is like this? It's stupid. And I think someone said before, like the Mets would forget to put a runner on second or something like that, which is pretty funny.
The only good thing I could ever pull from that is that it utilizes carrying a speed guy on your bench, because then he could be your pinch runner in extras, I guess.
It makes sense the 30-man roster updates, but I don't know. I just feel like I just feel like it's a little league rule that shouldn't be
placed. You did mention one thing. It changes the game for sure. It makes certain people, a lot of these rules, not a lot of them affect certain players. Actually, no, a lot of them affect certain players, but this one in particular makes certain players more relevant to the 26-man roster, 30, however you want to have the aging schedule players when they go in and out, whatever. But like players like Tyler Wade are now, hold on, so they're now yes, he's a speed guy. He's very fast. I blink and he's on second. But he now becomes reserved for that runner on second. He will not be brought into the game early. So like he gets fucked by this because he can no longer get entered into the game when a manager sees fit that he gets he is a fielding replacement or he can hit, which he can't do. But like anything else that he can do, it's now limited to what he's best at. So he's a pinch runner. So we are not going to put him in the game until we use him as that extra inning guy. So that puts him at basically never playing a game in the regular nine innings. You know, it's just some players it affects so much because you want to keep that fast guy. Why would you not keep the fastest guy who actually isn't so good that you need to get him in the lineup, but like it screws him over so bad.
Yeah,
I had a thought about that earlier when you talk about pitching. Like, do you keep a guy in your bullpen that's like meant for extra innings that maybe works well with a runner on and maybe has the stamina to go for two or three innings?
Here's the
like,
thing.
Maybe
why more so?
Because so you're automatically having a runner in scoring position with no out. So if you have somebody that's particularly good in those situations, like it's not a closer, but it's that kind of specialized bullpen role, like the equivalent of a long reliever. Like maybe you can get out of a jam and you can throw two innings. Like you're the extra inning guy.
So like Chad Green.
And like Fitz, say, yeah. So say for example, maybe Chad Green, maybe Herman when he gets back, maybe I don't think should be Ottavino, but maybe Ottavino, like he's a striker guy. Like, I don't know, like somebody that maybe that's a new role that happens in the bullpen now.
Yeah.
And then you don't see a guy come in the eighth if it's a close game.
I think
because you're saving him for extras.
Yeah. I think quick going back to the like Tyler Wade thing, because the 30-man roster, I think, kind of contradicts that, though. Because Tyler Wade is a utility guy, but when you have that many extra players in the roster, you can kind of allocate. Like, Tyler Wade, I don't think he's not just
you're
a speed guy. He's a.
However, that rule is implemented in the regular season when it's 25-man roster, though.
Yeah, but 26. But still, you have that room to, like, if you really just need a speed guy, like, you can probably fucking figure it out.
Terrence Gore, the guy we signed for the playoffs that never...
And we cut him already.
Never spat on the field, which you can't do this year. So, yeah. I don't know.
But you also don't need, like, a guy that's going to steal bases. You just need a guy that can get home on a single.
You need a guy who can run from second to home.
Yeah, because something in the gap
that's all you
has
need.
To score you. You got to have 70 speed. That'll score you. You don't need 90.
Not even the gap. You need to be able to react and
a good
get it to home.
But though, if you have an edge like Tyler Wade does on the base pass, you're gonna think twice. Maybe you might not save him and screw him over for that instance, but you're gonna think about it. Yeah. It's gonna impact his role on the team absolutely.
But I think that all of these things we talked about. That's enough chess for me, and I think that
his brain hurts.
Damon's a checkers guy. This was a lot of chess.
No, what I'm trying to say is
that
you're trying to figure out the end of the DH thing is going to be the biggest thing about chess. The entire game is going to be like that. So that's why you need to have the DH in there.
It's just a different chess.
Tying it together.
There's different chess matches. The new rule that I'm sure none of us have opposition to, I think it's funny, two of them actually. Pitchers can now have a...
Hi, Hannah.
Pitchers can now have a wet rag in their back pocket in place of licking their fingers. So...
That's just stupid. I mean, that doesn't do anything.
That's not stupid, though. It kind of makes sense. And this was a proposed one. I don't know if this was agreed upon, but it kind of...
But it was pine tar.
I get it, but like the licking the fingers is it's just a reaction thing. It's like spitting.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Which is interesting because they literally said that. I'll read the quote.
What about like the rosin bag situation? While you're pulling that up,
I'm sure that's allowed. Good. Why not?
Everyone's touching it.
It's communal. You gotta
have their own.
You gotta bring your own now. Yeah, it's like if you bring your own guac to Chipotle, you gotta bring your own. Who does that? Me.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You bring
about.
Your own guac to Chipotle.
You know guac is extra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. we'll get into this first, but they also have the rosters I want to get into after
that. Yeah, talk about that. 30 men.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I pull up beginning this. Of the season, for the first 2 weeks of the season, 30 men rosters. Then for the following 4 weeks, 28 men rosters, and then 26
for the rest of the year. I like it. I think
I'm indifferent about that. I'm indifferent about these rules that don't affect the actual game.
Right.
If the gameplay stays the same, they could have 40 people. I don't care. I think they're
again, this though.
What?
For this season, I think that really benefits the Yankees because they have we had so many bubble guys. Like when it was normal season, we were like, all right, who makes this 26-man roster? When
yeah.
We didn't think all this was going to happen. We were nitpicking over this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy.
Yeah, we have the opportunity.
Now they get 2 weeks to play in the majors and two.
Yeah. It's different because we have so many different tools that we can just throw in and out, like these people who would be starting on pretty much any other mediocre team, and they're on our bench. So it's like a champagne problem, but
yeah,
it's
I like that. I like that term a lot.
Yeah, I say it all the time.
I've never heard of that before in my life. I'm going to say it every day.
Yeah. You gotta have champagne problems to actually say it, which doesn't come around a lot. But.
I mean, hey, we made our own mojitos today. Do we make our own mojitos today, we made mango mojitos. Fire. We also grew our own mint that went into the mojitos. We have a cat too. She's freaking out. But we grew our own mint. Yeah. We basically make our own granola.
We don't.
What else do we do on our own?
Let's get back to the baseball.
You guys are proving your independence to everybody.
I'm an independent woman. But the new rule that I thought was funny that I was trying to pull up on my own was Jeff Passan, spitting is prohibited.
Passan.
Included but not limited to saliva, sunflower seeds, or peanut shells, or tobacco. So you can't spit tobacco if you're packing a heater. So...
You can't chew tobacco regardless.
So who's the guy who's just not going to spit the entire time and just pack a hog and get super buzzed? Like Adam Dunn,
Chris Davis is notorious for that.
Because if you don't spit, if you don't spit dip, I've dipped once in my life and didn't like it. The room was spinning, but I know Damon's a big dip guy. If you don't spit dip, you get super buzzed, right?
I'm not answering that.
Okay, Damon's not.
No, well, you're just gonna see. You're gonna see Chris Davis just go into the clubhouse every like 35 to 40 seconds, and just come back.
They're not allowed to do any of that: saliva, sunflower seeds, peanut shells, tobacco, at all times in clubhouse facilities, including the field. But chewing gum is permitted. I think this rule is so stupid. I get why they'd even like put pen to paper here and say like you can't spit. But again, you're so socially distanced between positions. But
it's easier said than done. These are all reactionary things that players...
Like, I would love to see how they implement the punishments for like, Didi Gregorius spitting on the ground.
People do it without even realizing. Like,
yeah, there's going to be a curve there.
Yeah.
It's an inherent
whatever.
Action.
I mean, that's just like a thing you do because there's a fucking pandemic happening. So
it's
not going to change.
You're not going to implement.
It's not going to change the game, but you need to put the rules in place because without the rules, there would be no season. And that's what you need to do it. So
it's for legality reasons. They had to say that they're not going to implement a rule. It's like
it's in the contract,
it's like the pitch clock. They said it, but they never implemented
it. Yeah, they have the clock, but it doesn't do anything.
No, that was stupid. It's
broken half the time.
So those are all the rules. Those are our opinions on the rules. I like the wet rag. That's the end of that. Next thing I want to talk about was one thing that
Wait, hold on. Can I say one thing on that? Because it pertains. They also said like no celebratory contact, no high fives, no fist bumps. So like somebody hits a home run, they come back in the dugout. They're just gonna sit.
That's gonna be fun. I think they're gonna be fun about that.
That's ridiculous though because they are all basically quarantining together.
But again, it's
literally like a Hotel California situation. Like they're all staying together. Probably they're all in one spot, and once they're bounced from the playoffs, they're gone. They go home. They do whatever they want to do. So that's ridiculous. It's like me and Damon when we go out to the grocery store. We're allowed to stand together. We don't have to be socially distanced because we live together. Like it's the same situation. Like why can't you high five your own teammates?
Again,
it's a lot easier others, and they needed to pass it.
It needs to be in the rules. That's the end of it.
It needs to be written.
It needs to be in the rules. Sure. It's written. It's it.
So another thing I saw, there was a Newsday Sports article. I don't know if you've heard of them before. I haven't, but they spoke about Aaron Judge. So I read it, and they. So basically said that Aaron Judge could big word, could be ready for the opener, along with other players recovering from injury. Could be? I'm sorry. This man has played no baseball in the last 8 months. 8 months. I get they misdiagnosed him. There was a whole situation. But again, 8 months, subtract 2 from that, from when they figured out that he had a punctured lung or cracked rib or something. First, figure it the fuck out, or if it's that bad, punctured lung sounds fucking bad, tell us about it. Like, they have been so not transparent about Aaron Judge's injury. Like, they don't tell us anything. They tell us everybody else. Like, oh yeah, so-and-so is on track. Like, James Paxton's on track for his schedule. Aaron Hicks looking good, taking BP. Aaron Judge, haven't seen him. What?
Like, well, it depends how much, I don't know how much access he has to team doctors. That could be a factor.
Yeah. Access to team doctors. I'm pretty sure the face of baseball has access to team doctors.
I mean, here's the thing. We heard it when the season was happening. We heard it when the season wasn't going to happen. It's been back and forth. I'm personally, it was one of those things where I'm sick and tired of talking about it because it's been misdiagnosed all this time. My personal opinion is I hope he gets better. I hope he's there, but I am not going to believe anything until I see him in the field.
So he started.
That's all I'm saying about
it. He started hitting. So a good point that I saw about this whole thing, because I was worried about, like, okay, if the season were to start, is Aaron Judge okay? Like, I haven't heard anything about it. And that's concerning, because wouldn't you think if Aaron Judge was taking BP, we'd hear about it? And literally this week, he just started hitting off a tee. That's not live BP by any sense of the word. And that's what, like, we were fixated on when Stanton was coming back from injury last year in the middle of the year for the playoffs, and we're like,
well, but, yeah, again, like, I think because they avoided the questions all the time, that makes me always believe that it was worse than it actually was. So maybe it was a really bad injury and he needs time to recover. I don't know. But I also just, again, I want him to play, but I'm not going to play he said, she said, and figure out when he's going to get in the field, because I'm not a doctor. I have no idea what's going to happen. I think,
but it's not even he said, she said, because nobody said anything.
No, everyone's been going back and forth. Oh, Aaron Judge taking BP. Aaron Judge feeling good today. Like, I don't, like, just tell me when's going to be in the field, and that's it. I'm not going to believe it until he's actually there, because we've been brainwashed to the fact that we can say, oh, he'll be ready in 2 to 3 weeks, and then
but they've
the
never
3 weeks
had
hit. And then they're like, oh, wait, he's not feeling great. It's going to be another 4 months. Like,
they've never had a timeline, though. And that's why I'm more freaked out about it, because you don't know what's going on. Like, it just, to me, this is insane. And honestly, I feel like there was just as much of a likelihood of him to start March 26th opening day on the team as it is right now. And that's stupid. That is stupid in terms of a fan's perspective. I don't know his medical dossier. I don't know what his papers look like. I don't know what's been going on with him. He's got a cracked rib and a punctured lung. That's all we know. Should be good by now. But, like, literally my feeling of the information that I've been given as a fan, and I pay attention to it, is that I was just as hopeful that he would be starting opening day March 26th as I am right now, and that is a bad sign if there's a 4 month gap in between that and now.
Especially with how the injuries are blown up. Like, we were talking about earlier how 7 losses in a row is 19 losses in a row. That means 7 missed games is 19 missed games. Like,
it's like 10% of the season right there.
He's out for 2 weeks. That's 40 games, essentially. Like, which is basically being out for a month and almost a month and a half.
And you know how much better we do when Aaron Judge is in the lineup. Like, or the record shows it. It's just crazy to me that, like, I get it. If it's a detrimental injury, figure it out. Tell us. Say, don't beat around the bush and say, like, we're crazy. We're fans. We love this shit. Like, don't play with our emotions like that and say that he's going to be ready for March 26th when he's not going to be ready for July 26th. Like, that's crazy. Like, in the simulated season that we're looking at, Brian Hoke tweets about it every day. Aaron Judge is in the lineup. He's hitting home runs. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me that he's even a thought to not be in the lineup on opening day in July, in almost August.
Yeah, it's a good point. But it is nice to see that Hicks is back. It's nice to see that Paxton's going to be back. It'd be really cool if Seve got like super surgery and he could be back, but that's not going to happen. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. And like, if we have any sort of the injury luck that we've had over the past year, and I mean calendar year, not just past season, like, it's really going to hurt and it's going to get blown up way more. Like these knick-knacky day-to-day injuries, people are going to have to play through that, because say Stanton jams his thumb and usually he'd sit out 3 games. He's probably not going to sit out 3 games anymore. You know, like, it's going to be a bigger deal.
People are going to play through a lot more this year, considering how much it weighs every game, like we've mentioned multiple times through this podcast. I just think it's so crazy that I'm perfectly fine if it's a bad injury, if it's super, super serious, take your time. And that's what he's been doing, which is the silver lining. I'm not all shitting on the way they've handled this. However, it's been horrible that he's had so much time. And I think that's more reason why I'm more upset. It's because he's had this extra time to be taking it serious. And just like, you don't have to pick up a baseball or run or work out for 3 months. Let it heal. And it's still like borderline. I get it. If it was serious and you told us a timetable from the beginning, hey, it's going to be about 6 months or whatever, then I'd be like, all right, like, I'm not pissed off about it. But like, if you're going to handle it as if he was going to be ready on March 26th and now he's not ready on July 24th, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really not. I'm really tired of talking about it, to be quite honest.
I'm just upset.
I feel like I'm talking about the same topic for like
a whole year.
I'm just upset. But the silver lining also is apparently he's going to be ready for opening day. And I don't want this to seem like I think he's not going to be ready for opening day. All signs point to yes, but I was just pissed that it's a possibility and we haven't even heard anything about it. But the other, apparently it's concrete or close to concrete that Stanton, Hicks, and Paxton will all be back for opening day, which is dope to hear, because those are, if the season started as it was supposed to be scheduled on March 26th, then they were going to be the ones that weren't starting and we were going to have an outfield looking like Clint and company, like Brett Gardner and all them. Brett Gardner doesn't miss a game ever, but that was just an interesting thing to me. What do we think? It's 60 games, like we've said 75 times in this podcast. What do we think a good record would be to predict for the Yankees? Because all things considered, a good season is 100 games, 100 wins is a great season. That's a good benchmark for like for us, for the Yankees at least. What's the benchmark now? Do we just base it off of last year? Or
I don't know. I think because of the competitiveness, I think 40 is a lot because
of who we play.
Not even that, but just in general. I think, like, you know, the Astros and the Dodgers were the only two teams that made it to 40 games at the beginning of the season, but that's because they got off to a really, really hot start and none of these other factors were in place. So I think 40 might not even happen. I think that 40 is going to be really, really hard to hit. So I think, like, around that 35 mark is going to be a realistic, like, predictable schedule for us to be in the playoffs. So just because I don't think that teams are just going to dominate. I think it's going to be a lot of back and forth.
I think 30 is going to play like 90.
Yeah.
Well, no, because 30 is 500. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But again,
it's going to be so down nitty gritty.
There's just so many different factors that, like, I think when you get to the nitty gritty and you get to those 30, 35 wins, that's probably going to be a good amount just because of the structure of how the season can be built off of.
The playoff race is going to be like unreal. Yeah. Like the month of September is going to be crazy. Every game is going to be like, oh my God.
I just don't think we're going to see 40 wins. I just don't think it's going to happen.
And the crazy thing about that is that that's 10 games over 500.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Crazy. Wild.
I don't know.
Yeah. The margin, I mean, baseball is baseball, but like, if you think about it, the month of September, how it feels for teams like the Yankees, teams like the Dodgers, Astros, but the teams that are front runners, the month of September for you kind of a cakewalk. You kind of just rest people and rack up wins. I remember the last game of the season last year, we played the Rangers. We lost. Didn't fucking matter because we already had our seeding and our everything intact, you know? So the month of September now, like, we're not going to have a margin that's big enough to just sit back and watch, you know? Like, we're going to have to, like, always have the foot on the gas pedal and just, like there's never a time to just sit back and, like, be like, okay, we have this seed. We're going to stick with that. We're going to not try and get injury. Like, I remember last year we were pushing to the – it was either we push to the finish line and, like, risk injury, or we reserve and we don't go for the number one seed overall because we were in a race with the Astros, and we keep the people we have here because we've been just destroyed by injuries. And that whole thing is, like, no, you can't even have that possibility. Like, you have to – push to the end no matter what, because your margin is going to be like a game.
Yeah.
You're going to be up by a game over the Rays. That's it.
I think that it ties everything together we talked about today. I think it's going to be a really exciting season with a bunch of different variables. It's impossible to predict, and it's impossible to predict what's going to happen, and it's impossible to predict what the reaction of it is going to be when it's all over. And that's why I think, I think I'm so excited about it. So that's, I'm pumped for the shortened season. I hope we're getting the full season. Hope it doesn't get canceled. I think it's going to be really, really excited. Really, really exciting.
Yeah, and our episodes, we're going to have a lot more to dive into. Everything's going to matter that much.
Every game be like matters
the same as every series, basically, is what it's like.
Dude, it's going to be a playoff atmosphere for every single game. If we lose one game, you're going to hear me on this podcast, and I'm going to be like, the sky is falling. I'll be Chicken Little. I'm just be like, okay, figure it the fuck out. Do something. Sign somebody. Sign Yasiel Puig right now. Like, get him on the books. I don't know. I don't care. We need depth. I don't know. That's a whole conversation for another podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Perfect. But, yeah. All right. That's all I got to say.
That's it from me. That's it from everybody. Let's go, Yanks. I can't even believe. It just feels so weird that we're going to have baseball so soon. It seems too good to be true. It seems too good to be true. We've had a Yankees podcast, and we haven't talked about regular season, like actual Yankees baseball, for 8 months.
Yeah, that's wild.
I'm excited to talk about a new game. We've been talking about, like, oh, they did this back in the 70s. I'm excited to talk about.
We're excited. New shit. That's it. The space and time between you and I, I'll never leave you in the dust. Farm skies and open roads, the only place that I call home. It's in your arms and in your eyes where I belong, and I don't.